Right, did you enjoy that, those of you who ate it? No? Yes, well, none of that while you're here. Wait till you get home, Jonathan. Who likes tomatoes? Tell me what's in this tin. Megan. Tomatoes. So if I go into a shop and ask for tomatoes, I'll get that, right? What will I get then? Will I get that? I don't look at all of that. You just said that's tomatoes. You said that's a tomato. They don't look at all the same to me. They look completely different. Would anyone like some people in the stocks and they throw tomatoes at them, amongst other things? Anyone want a tomato thrown at them this morning? Okay, ready? I think not. Right, let's see if we can remember what today we're remembering. I don't know what Megan's been eating today, but her arm seems to have gone very stiff. Is Megan the only one that knows? Is she the only one who remembers? Has everybody else gone to sleep? Right, all the children, put your hands up. All the children, put your hands up. All of you. Good, you are awake. Right, what are we remembering today? Now I know Megan knows, so you can put your hand down, Megan. Let me ask you another question. What do I find on my car every day at the moment? What do I find on my car every day at the moment and will for the next few weeks? Now this should tell us who went to Western Rim Primary School last year. Jonathan? No? Yes. Yes. Leaves. What colour are the leaves? Wrong! Megan? No. They're yellow. Every year, at this time of year, on my car, I find yellow leaves. All those who were in Western Rim Primary School about a year ago, I told everybody, on my car, in the autumn, I find lots of yellow leaves. I have to brush them off. And I reminded you what I would have found on my car a year ago, and 2 years ago, and 10 years ago. And 1,000 years ago on my ox cart, I would have found what? Yes, yellow leaves. And why do we have this cycle where every year at about this time in the autumn, the leaves fall off the trees just after we've had the harvest? It's because God is good to us. He promised that as long as the earth remained, summer and winter, seed time and harvest would continue. And that shows us God's promise in action. How do we know that next year there will be a harvest? How do we know there will be a harvest? There's only one thing that will prevent a harvest happening next year. Who can think of what the one thing is that will prevent a harvest next year? Megan's not sure. You'll have to speak louder. Davina. No, there's only one thing. Jonathan thinks he knows. Well, the end of the world. If the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, then there won't be a harvest next year, because he'll have come back. It will be the end of the world. That's the only thing that will stop a harvest next year, because God promised every year, summer and winter, seed time and harvest, will continue as long as the earth remains, until the end of time, whenever that is going to be. And we don't know when that's going to be, but God knows when that's going to be. Why is it? Let me ask you another question first. How many of you had breakfast this morning? How many of you are going to have dinner when you get home? How many are on a diet and aren't going to eat anything today? I don't know what Beth's eating then. We usually have something to eat every day. Where does the food come from? Is anyone going to answer? Davina. Chickens? Not quite. No. Jonathan? Underground? No. Megan? Seeds? No. Alright, put your hands down. It doesn't come from any of those things. It doesn't come from Tesco's. Let me see how good you are. What plant do tomatoes come from? Davina? Tomato tree. Well, tomato plant. Good. So what trees does spaghetti come from? You're right, it comes from a bush. It comes off the spaghetti bush. You're not old enough to have seen Panorama. If you watch Panorama, you'd know that spaghetti comes from spaghetti bushes. See, we have all this pre-packed or picked and washed and cleaned for us by people. But it grows. Every year it grows. And it grows year by year. But the reason it grows is because God sends the rain and God sends the sun every year. And God is good to us. And so we are remembering today God's goodness to us in giving us all the food we need. You know, if God decided not to be good to us in that way anymore, do you know what would happen to us? We would all get very, very thin, and then we would die, and we'd all be dead. If God was not good to us and gave us all the food. The sad thing is that because God has promised that every year there will be a harvest, we think, well, every year there's a harvest, so we don't need to think about God. But every year we have a harvest because of God, and God being good to us. Every year goes by, and every year there's a harvest, some are better than others, but every year there's a harvest. And people forget about God. They think, well, it's going to happen anyway. We don't need to worry with God, but it only happens because of God. There was a man in that chapter that we read. He'd forgotten about God. Let's just read it again. It's only a few verses. Jesus told them a parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. I think there's even some sheets for this. They're going to be handed out to some to fill in. The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?" Here was a man, he was a farmer, and he had gone out and he'd sown his field with seed, and it had grown up, and he had a bumper harvest. We're going to sing a well-known song at the end. For we plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land. This is what he'd done. He'd gone out and he'd scattered it all over the land. Of course, we don't do that now. I've got another song here, sung to the same tune. We plough the fields with tractors. With drills we sow the land. And it follows on in a similar vein. So it's a modern version. We could have perhaps sung that today. Perhaps we'll get it ready for next year. So this man had sown his fields, he got a bumper crop, and he'd had to hire in extra combine harvesters to gather in all of the harvest. There was so much. And when all the seed trailers got back to the farm, he thought, where on earth am I going to put all of this grain? I just have not got enough space. So he thought, I know what I'll do. I'll build bigger barns. I'll build bigger grain silos. And I'll fill them up with all of this. And what I'll do, because this year's been a bumper harvest, I won't sell it all. I'll keep some back. Because the price is low this year. It's like the sheep farmers. There's so many lambs around at the moment, the price goes down. So he thought, I'll keep it back. It's a bit difficult to do that with lambs, because lambs become sheep. You can do it with grain. So he kept some grain back until the next year, he thought, when there might be a bad harvest. Then the price would go up, and then he could sell it and make a big profit. And he'd be really pleased with himself and have more money to go into the bank. And if things went on like that, he'd be as rich as... Ooh, who can think of a very rich man? Who can tell me the name of a very rich man? Hands up. Shirley. Richard Branson. People think Richard Branson's very rich, but he's not very rich at all, really. He's only worth about £1 billion. Jonathan. Richie Rich. Sorry, I don't know who he is. Well, the richest man in the world, perhaps Isaac knows the richest man in the world. Bill Gates. Bill Gates, he's worth about $52 billion. Which is about £35-40 million. That's 35,000 million pounds. That's a lot more than if you won the lottery. And people look at people like that and think, oh, if only I had all that money. Think of all the things I could do. I could go down and have a Spanish holiday, or a French Riviera holiday, or an Italian holiday, or a Caribbean holiday. I could go cruising around the world. I would never have to do any more work ever again. It would be lovely. Of course, when people do that, they get bored very easily. It's boring just to sit in the sun all day and have a holiday all the time. It's boring. You might not think so, but it is. People don't like it. But these people have all this money, or they have all this grain, like this man had. They think they're so wealthy, they think they're so clever. He thinks he's a clever man because he's got this plan. He's worked out, I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to store all this up. I'm going to make a fortune out of this. I'm going to have an easy life. But he's got no thought about where it's come from. See, this man thought it was all because of him. What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? He said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store my crops and my goods. He was all talking about himself. He didn't think about anybody else, let alone think about God. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He thought everything was going to be fine. For the rest of his life he'd have no worries at all. Everything belonged to him, and he was going to be all right. Well, I've used an illustration before, and it's appropriate at this point, so I hope it doesn't bore you to relate it again. But I've told you about the rich man, the man who was so rich, in fact he was even richer than Bill Gates, thousands of millions of pounds he had in the bank, but like so many millionaires, he was lonely. Life was miserable. He just did not know what to do. He had no friends at all. Nobody wanted to know him. So what he did, one day he had this brilliant idea. I'll put an advert in the newspaper and I'll advertise for a companion. So he put this advert into the Times. He just wanted the right sort of person. So he put an advert in the Times and it said, "Wanted. Rich old man wants companion. Money no object. Contact," and then there was an address to write to. And most people looked at it and they thought, this is a hoax. People are having us on. This is a joke. This isn't real. But one man looked at it and thought, well, it might be a hoax. It might be a joke. But it might be genuine. So he applied, and he got the job. And the old man said, here's a checkbook. Here's a string of credit cards. You can spend as much money as you like. I don't care how much money you spend. All I ask is that every Saturday you come and spend the morning with me. And we'll talk about anything under the sun. We'll go for walks. We'll do things together for those few hours on a Saturday morning. The rest of the week, I don't care what you do, as long as you're with me on the Saturday morning. And the fellow thought, this is wonderful. Wow, this is better than winning the lottery. Because you win the lottery, the money's going to run out one day. But this man's got so much money, I could never spend it all. So he goes and buys himself a great big house. Buys himself a Ferrari. He's always wanted a big red Ferrari. So he can drive round with a peak cap on thinking, I'm Michael Schumacher. That's a wonderful time. And he thinks, well, there's my old mother, I'd better buy her a house as well and get her a nice car. And then he thinks about his brothers and sisters. But after a while he starts getting bored. And he thinks, well, there must be more to life than just having fun and buying things for my friends and my family. So he starts reading in the newspaper about disasters and there's an appeal for money. And so he sends some money. He hears that there's this good cause over here, so he thinks, I'll send them some money as well. After all, I can do what I like with it. And it's not that long, just a couple of years, and he gets to be very well known. People say, this famous man, this man who gives all this money away, this man is a great benefactor. This man is a philanthropist. That means he's a good guy who gives money away. This man is wonderful. And this man, well, you get people preaching in pulpits in certain churches and say, this man is a wonderful example to us all. If anyone's going to heaven, this man's going to heaven because of all the good things that he does. Of course, we all know that's rubbish, don't we? But that's what they said. This man was so wonderful. And they began to ask him to sit on this committee and that committee. They began to ask his opinion about problems in Australia and South Africa and in South America. And he was travelling around all over the world. And everyone in the world thought he was such a wonderful man. But haven't we forgotten something? You see, you can understand with all the international travel and all the celebrity and having to appear on this chat show and that chat show. He went to New York and he appeared on Sarah, what's her name, Duchess of York's chat show. And she was on this chat show and that chat show and the other chat show. He was all over the place. And well, you know how it is. Time gets very scarce and precious, and he just found it so difficult on Saturdays to get along to the old man's house. And, well, to tell the truth, he hadn't been for a few years. Who was getting all the credit? He was. Whose money was it? The old man's. So how come he's getting the credit? It's really got nothing to do with him. It's the old man's money, not his money. You know that you're like that, and I'm like that, the whole world is like that. Anything that we have, we say, it's because I'm so clever, it's because I'm such a genius. It's not just farmers saying, look at this bumper crop that I've got, means I've built this business up from nothing. I wonder what Bill Gates thinks. It would be interesting to interview him to see what he thinks about all his money. Is it all because he's such a brilliant man? Is it because of all his clever business tactics? That's what many people think, but the answer is no. It's because God gives them life. God gives you life. How often do we thank God that God has given us life? How often when people say to you, well done, we say, well actually it's only because God has given me life and health and breath and everything. It's all because of God. How often we forget that? This man in the parable forgot that. And what did God say? God said to this man, this wealthy man, this man who knew how to run his farm, knew how to run his business, God said, you fool. Can you imagine someone going up to the richest man in the world and saying, you're a fool? Can you imagine finding the richest man in the village and going up to him and saying, you're a fool? What sort of response do you get? Well, you might get a black eye. You might get a flat nose. Now all the children know there's another way of getting a flat nose. Yes, Megan? The answer is, how do you get a flat nose? If you don't tie your shoelaces up. You'll trip over, go on the floor, and you get a flat nose. But if you go up to someone and say, you're a fool, you're also likely to get a flat nose. Because their fists will go bang into your face. So you can remember that. Two ways of getting flat noses. But they are fools, even if they got a vast amount of money, if they forget that God is the one who has given them everything. And that everything they have is God's. All this food here doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to the people who gave it. It doesn't belong to the church. It belongs to God. This building belongs to God. The shoes that you're wearing belong to God. Your socks belong to God. You belong to God. Everything in the world belongs to God. But people forget that. And they have no thought about God, and they have no thought of the life to come. They only think about this world. But God said, you fool, this night. This man thought he'd got years ahead of him. This night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So you get all the toys you can imagine, fulfill your heart's desire. You have the family you always wanted. You have all the food you ever wanted. All the money you ever wanted. And what happens when God says, you fool, and he takes you from this world? You can't take it with you. It's one thing people forget. You cannot take it with you. However much you accumulate, you can't take it with you. As soon as you leave this world, it ceases to be yours and it becomes someone else's. And what do you take into the life to come? None of your wealth. So what do you take? When you stand before God and give an account, what do you have to show to God why he should preserve you, why he should bless you, and why he should not punish you for the bad things that you've done? Are you ready for that day? What are you going to take to that day? Take to show God and say, look, here is something of value. Well, there's nothing that you've done that you can take with you. You've done nothing of value in God's sight. You can't take any possessions with you because they stay in this world. So what can you take? Jesus says, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. We need to be rich towards God. And how do we become rich towards God? Well, first of all, we have to recognize that we are not rich towards God. We need to recognize that even if we've got £1,000 million in the bank, we are poor. that we have nothing. We have to recognise that everything comes from God. We have to thank him for it, but that's still not enough. We have to acknowledge that we're wrong. We have to repent. Repentance means saying, changing our minds. And instead of saying, I'm wonderful, we're saying, I'm rotten. Instead of saying, I don't need God, we have to say, I need God. Instead of saying, I can do it all by myself, we have to say, I need Jesus Christ. And we need to trust in Christ. We need to change our minds about ourselves, about God, about Christ, and we need to trust Christ. And when we do that, then we become rich towards God, and God gives us his Holy Spirit as a guarantee of the vast riches that are stored up for those who believe in Christ in the life to come. And it's not a question of saying, oh well, I'll read my Bible and that will make me rich towards God. It's no good praying and thinking that will make me rich towards God. It's no good coming to church and thinking that will make me rich towards God. That doesn't make you rich at all. What makes you rich is coming as a sinner to Jesus Christ and saying to God, I am a sinner. I have done things that are wrong. I may not be outwardly a gross sinner. I may not be living in the gutter. But my heart is not right before God. My heart is opposed to God. And God is offended by what I think as well as by what I do. And I need to be forgiven for all those wrong thoughts as well as all those wrong actions. And if I do not find God's forgiveness, and if God does not change my heart, then God will be just in punishing me on that great day. Are you ready for that day? You fool, says Jesus. This night your soul is required of you. There are some of us who think, well, perhaps I've only got a few years to go. Perhaps in this coming year will be my last. Others think to themselves, oh, I've got many years ahead yet. You look in the newspapers and you read about people in their teens who have died. Suddenly they've got a serious illness, or suddenly they've been in a fatal car accident, and suddenly their life is snuffed out. God has said to them, you fool, and he's taken them. God holds every one of us in his hand. Each one of you, everyone in the world, we are all in the hand of God. The reason we continue to live is because of God. And one day, it might be today, it might be tomorrow, it might be in 50 years, God will say, enough. You fool. You would not listen. And then God will take you out of this world and drop you into the world that is to come. Are you ready? Are you ready for that day? When we look at God's bountiful provision to us at this time of harvest, we must remember this is a sign of God's grace towards us. There is a greater sign of God's grace, and that is in the fact that he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for sinners. And we are all sinners. Are you going to leave here this morning thinking to yourself, well, I'm glad that's over for another year. Next year we'll come along to the harvest, Thanksgiving again, but I'm not interested otherwise. I want to forget about God. God has not forgotten you. And God is holding you to account for everything. Are you ready for that day? Let us be truly thankful to God for the harvest, for all his good gifts to us, but most of all, let's be thankful to him for sending the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us pray that he will be merciful to us and forgive our sins and give us clean hearts because of Jesus Christ. Let us come to him and trust him. that we might know heavenly blessings and heavenly wealth that will last forever.